the Sportscast, January 25th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and Apple Podcast. And if you're listening on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You could listen to us on the Sportscast app or on our website, thesportscast.net. And follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1, thesportscast1. The NFL Championship weekend has come to a close, conclusive. One surprise, perhaps, but one that was kind of obvious, but we had to see the proof in the pudding. All the way from a cold Pittsburgh day, Joe Toscano, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, as always, for having me. Wow, what a weekend. So much happened.
A lot happened. And usually, you know, championship weekend is probably one of the best ball games I see all season. Perhaps more than the Super Bowl.
You know what? This weekend and the last weekend, the divisional round, it's my favorite weekend of football all year. It's because all of the, you know, wild card weekend is fun, but some of those teams really don't belong there. But once you get to the divisional round and the conference championship, those are the best teams. And seeing the best teams play each other is just awesome.
And then typically on that weekend, I usually go out for a restaurant, go out with friends, and watch the game at a good sports bar. Super Bowl, I usually refrain from it because it's way too much people. You're not going to find a seat. You got to have reservations. You probably got to have to pay a cover charge. Which one restaurant was charging $50 then plus food, so I stay away from restaurants on the Super Bowl because everyone watches football that day apparently. But what are your traditions? Are you usually watch at home or you usually go out or go to a friend's house?
So yeah, I'm the same way. Anytime there's a Steeler game, we try to go out to watch it. The playoff games, we go out to watch it. But Super Bowl, we stay home. We just spend it with the family. We do appetizers. We do offensive appetizers and make a big deal out of that. But yeah, we're the same way. We just stay home for the Super Bowl.
Now, Joey, do you have a chef right in front of your name sometimes during these days, or you don't do the cooking?
I do the cooking. Yes, Chef Joseph Boyardee. That's me.
And what is your menu during these football weekends?
Basically just appetizers, wings, mozzarella sticks, loaded baked, not the big loaded baked, but the potato skins, things like that. Usually, chips, nachos. We eat way too much now that I'm thinking about it.
Hey, it's the best time of the year to eat. You know what I noticed? Papa John's is going to do stuffed crust pizza now.
Yeah, I like stuffed crust pizza. I like when Pizza Hut does something like that. So I try something like that. Papa John's is kind of when you get pizza, you got to get like a nice local Italian joint with some old Italian guy, have a cigar hanging out of his mouth, flipping the dough. That's what you want out of a pizza, not some chain.
That'd be a good commercial. Yeah, it's true. And when I saw that commercial yesterday, I thought Pizza Hut had the rights for stuffed crust pizza because you didn't see anyone else doing it, Little Caesars or Papa John's or like the other pizza chains. So it's kind of like when I saw that, so okay, maybe they just wanted to do it. And
I like that pizzas are pizza places are like ramping up their pizza making technology. Like that's something we. Technological advances in is making pizzas.
Anyways, let's go on and try to recap Championship Sunday. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. NFC Championship game held in Green Bay. The man with the 6 NFL Super Bowls will become the first quarterback to play Super Bowl on his team's home field. He owes the Tampa Bay defense that sacked Aaron Rodgers a couple of times, 5 times, and a curious late call on the 4th and goal by the Packers. as Brady and the Bucks beat top-seeded Green Bay 31-26 for the NFC Championship game Sunday. Joe, what were your thoughts over this matchup?
I thought there were a few moments that defined the entire game. The first was at the end of the first half, the guts on the Bucks to go for it at the end of the first half when almost every other coach would have just taken a knee or something like that. And then there was so little time on the clock left, and they're still moving it down the field. And for the Packers to just allow that touchdown and not have the right defense is just it's criminal. It's criminal, and it really costs them the game. So there was that, the decision at the end to not go for it on fourth down when you're down eight and there was only 2 minutes, 9 seconds left. It's just I don't understand what the Packers were thinking. They choked.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers was asked about that play, and he said, well, that's what the coaches said. And then when they asked Matt LaFleur, he just felt right at that moment. Do you think there was like a lack of experience during these type of games for Matt LaFleur?
I have no idea what happened there. I just don't understand it. Yes, you have all your timeouts, but there is only 2 minutes left. You're right there. You're down eight. You're down one score on a 2-point conversion. There's almost no time left. Yes. If everything goes right, you give the ball back, and if there's only a very few amount of time taken off, and maybe if you get the ball back, and maybe if you drive it down the field, maybe you could get another score. But there's so many maybes there when you have the touchdown right there. And yes, it's not easy to do, but still, I just don't understand that decision. It's crazy.
Tom Brady, winner of the game, said, "It's great to get another road win, 3 road wins so far in the playoffs. And now we got a home game. And who's ever thought a home Super Bowl for us," Brady said, "but we did it." Joe, it is so weird. I never thought this would have happened in my lifetime, but is this like history in the making here?
You know, it is an amazing thing to have a home game. But, for a couple reasons, it's not really a home game. First of all, they're only going to have, I think, 20,000 fans, something like that. I'm not sure the exact number. So, not as many fans. But when you have a Super Bowl, there's so many fans that aren't usually there. It's not like a bunch of Tampa season ticket holders can just, show up to the game or something like that. So, it's nice to have the game in your home city, but it's not really a home game. It's still cool. It's still cool as heck. It just would have been neat if it was, different circumstances.
Mr. Tom Brady went for 20 of 36 for 286 yards and 3 touchdowns, but also threw 3 interceptions as Tampa Bay squandered most of an 18-point lead. Shaquille Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul combined for 5 sacks to help the Bucks hang on for their franchise record 8th consecutive road victory. Let's go into the interceptions, because I was hearing the part of the game on the radio, and Tom Brady threw no interceptions in like the playoffs, and I think most of the time in the regular season. When I saw those interceptions, wasn't it giving you some doubts a little bit?
Yeah. Basically, the story of the game was the Bucks dominated early, and it was 21-10 at the half, and then just the Packers just came back, big time. The defense was not able to stop the Packers defense was not able to stop the Buccaneers at all in the first half, and they really came back. Yeah, they caused some interceptions, but really a major point of the game is the Packers offense did not take advantage of those interceptions. That's huge. You have to, especially when you're down, you have to strike that dagger. And yes, the Packers did come back, and they did score a lot of points, and they did do well in the third quarter, but they did not take advantage of those interceptions, and that was huge. I mean, it was the interceptions that Brady threw, They weren't necessarily a terrible job by Brady. Some of them were questionable throws, but a lot of them were just really athletic plays by the Packers defense.
And when the Packers made those turnovers, Tampa did capitalize on those moments, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The huge play was Aaron Jones getting rocked by Jordan Whitehead from University of Pittsburgh. And that was a huge play. You know, what do they say? That one of the biggest factors in winning a game is the turnover battle. And you got to take advantage of those turnovers.
How about Scotty Miller making those plays? I mean, coming in as clutch.
Yeah, it's amazing. And for the Packers defense to allow that touchdown at the end of the first half, whoever that defensive coordinator, I would fire that entire defensive coordinator and any defensive coach, fire them. They basically cost them the game. There was no reason to allow, there was only a few seconds left in the half. There was no reason to allow that defense to be like that. It's inexcusable.
The Bucs came to play. Let's give credit to the Bucs defense. Shaquille Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, 5 sacks. Those players, I mean, I forgot Jason Pierre-Paul played for the Bucs. Joe?
Yeah. I'm not going to make any jokes about his fireworks displays or anything. But, the Bucs defense really put pressure on Rodgers. And, hey, Rodgers is he's not that guy that could run around and stuff. I mean, he could scramble around a little bit, but that really messed him up. The pressure they put on him.
The Green Bay Packers lost in the NFC Championship game for the fourth time in the last couple of seasons. Green Bay hasn't reached the Super Bowl since its 2000 and almost 11 years ago to the Super Bowl. Rodgers went for 33 of 48 for 346 yards with 3 touchdowns and 1 interception, but he fell to 1-4 in conference championship games as a starting quarterback. The Packers had the NFL's awesome red zone offense this season, but they went for field goals 2 times after having a first and goal Sunday. Joe, I was thinking about it yesterday. You know. When I was driving to watch the AFC Championship game, and it felt like Aaron Rodgers is not clutch all the time. He doesn't have that assassin look as Tom Brady. Is it a Rodgers thing? Is it a coach thing? Or just a Rodgers thing?
You know, I'm not sure. That's a good question. I'm not sure what happened. I mean, yesterday, there were times. There were times where, you know, they were close. You know, that play we talked about, you know, at the end where they chose to kick the field goal instead of go for it. Well, I mean, that, you know, people say that Rodgers should have run for it and maybe that he would have got it. Maybe he wouldn't have, but I don't know. But I mean, when you think about Aaron Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, to only be in one Super Bowl, that's pretty significant. And, you know, how many more chances is he going to get? Especially the way he was talking after the game. He's like, he's not sure what his future is going to be. They drafted a quarterback in the first round this year. I don't know. I mean, is the window closing on Aaron Rodgers? I'm not sure. I mean, you know, they blame the coach for many years. You know, McCarthy was not a good coach, and that's what held them back. But, yeah, you got to put some of the blame on Aaron Rodgers, too.
Making it another bust this year again. Now, Rodgers was asked afterwards, Joe, about the future. He wasn't really sure, but he does have 3 years left in his contract. He'll probably eventually come back. You think?
Yeah, he'll come back. Like I said, it's, from what I understand, it's basically his call the way his contract is. So, he'll be there for a while. I'm sure. You know, when you say things in the heat of the moment, you know, just after the game, I'm sure, you know, after cooler heads prevail, things will change. He'll be there for a while. I mean, my goodness, look at their record. Look at the record last year and look at the record this year. You know, it's an amazing job. You know, LaFleur has done an amazing job there, but, you know, they just can't get over the hump.
Don't you think you think they need more pieces, or you think they have the right pieces, but they just need to get over the hump?
They need a defense, that's for sure. They need somebody. They need somebody to cover Scotty Miller. That's what they need.
that one corner.
I mean, you know, every team changes. Every team has needs and stuff. I mean, the Packers look pretty complete. I mean, they look like, you know, with a couple exceptions, they looked like unstoppable this season. So, you know, maybe just a few tweaks and they could be right back in there.
Something to definitely look at, of course, in the next couple of weeks. We got a huge offseason ahead of us. Tampa moves on, going to play at home. Doesn't have to worry about much about COVID. Kansas, well, anyways, we'll get into that more into detail. Let's recap the championship game in the AFC, the Bills and the Chiefs. The Bills did not get the reprieve from the Chiefs quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. They had hoped for, and in this AFC championship game, I thought Mahomes, you know, was going to be like 60% Mahomes, 80% Mahomes, enough for the Bills to maybe get over the hump. Mahomes was knocked out of the divisional round of the previous weekend by a hit to his head, but he had passed through the NFL concussion protocol and was brilliant in Kansas City's win over the Bills 38-24. He completed 29 of 38 passes for 325 yards and 3 touchdowns. He didn't turn the ball over. Joe, I honestly thought Bills had a chance with Mahomes maybe being 80%. He looked 100%.
Exactly. We were told, oh, the concussion. Oh, he has turf toe. Oh, this. Oh, he's going to be a shell of himself. He looked awesome. He looked great. So, you know, we got fooled there. So, I mean, the Chiefs are just, the Bills are amazing. They had an amazing season, but the Chiefs, I mean, it's been the Chiefs all year. You know, we were all fooling ourselves that it might be someone else. You know, we thought, well, maybe, you know, they don't blow everybody out. So maybe they're vulnerable. Nope.
The Bills took a 9-0 lead in the second quarter. Mahomes and the Chiefs settled into an overwhelming performance. Wide receiver Tyreek Hill caught 9 passes for 172 yards, and a tight end, Travis Kelce, caught 13 passes for 118 yards and 2 scores. I saw Tyreek Hill most of the game. How about you?
He dominated. You know, he's one of the best in the league, and when he's on, and when he makes a catch, he could break it any time, and it's almost between Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Kelce, it's almost an unstoppable combination.
Not much of a running back performance in this game, wasn't there?
No. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's nice. He had a nice season for a rookie. But they really don't use their running game too much. And then, you know, Le'Veon Bell was supposed to be something. And heck, he was a healthy scratch, so that didn't work out.
That name sounds very familiar. Back to the Bills. This team, I saw a lot of sacks. Josh Allen was trying to run the game, scramble a lot. He had that huge sack. I think he ran back like 20 yards back. What was going on with the Bills yesterday?
The Bills had an amazing season. The progression of Josh Allen and the addition of Stephon Diggs, I've never seen a wide receiver add that much to an offense, and I've never seen a quarterback. Josh Allen was supposed to be known as an inaccurate quarterback, and the leaps he took is just amazing. He's one of the most improved quarterbacks ever. Yesterday, the Chiefs put a lot of pressure on him. Got to hand it to that the Chiefs defense. And when they did sack Josh Allen, it was ugly. I mean, those, like you said, there were some, you know, they just sent him back like 10, 15, 20 yards. Those are devastating. That basically kills a drive. You know, you can't just, you know, it would have been better if you just, you know, if you just like kneeled down or something like that and only took like a 5-yard loss or something like that.
Or try to throw the
Josh
ball.
Allen is amazing. You know, he was great with the passing, but he's also really good on the run. I've heard Josh Allen described, and I forget where I heard it from, but basically if Cam Newton and Ben Roethlisberger had a baby, it would be Josh Allen.
Something to definitely look at. For the Bills, I saw a lot of Cole Beasley in this game. A lot of catches.
Yeah, Cole Beasley is a big part of their offense. The thing that the Bills need to work on is their running game. They basically had no running game this year. You can't do that. I mean, the Steelers learned that the hard way also. You have to have a balanced attack. You can't just pass it all the time. You have to at least give the threat of a run.
The Chiefs look all powerful. The best of the AFC. Can you name one other team that could have had a better performance or, you know, a better matchup rather than, like, the Buffalo Bills?
Maybe the Ravens.
Really?
Because they have that whole different style. Maybe.
Wow. Good point.
But really, I don't know of a team. I really can't think of it. I mean, any team can beat any team in any, you know, circumstance if you have, like, a bunch of fluky turnovers or, you know, different things can happen. So, you know, it's like, you know, if the Chiefs and Bills play 10 times, Chiefs would probably win 8 of those. But then again, that's probably the same as any other team in the AFC. The Chiefs are just on top of it right now.
The Chiefs are unstoppable. They're the undefeated champions right now. They're the defending champions right now. And they move on against Tampa Bay. The Super Bowl is in 2 weeks. I believe it's on February something. I'd like to say February 3rd, but it's probably not going to be that date. But it is going to be Mahomes versus Brady, February 7th, to be exact. It's Brady versus Mahomes, Buccaneers versus the Chiefs. Joe, I know we have 2 weeks to try to dissect this down a little bit, but as of right now, how do you see this matchup?
Well, it's really interesting because they played each other in Tampa earlier this season in the Chiefs 127-24. I think it's just going to be a really good game. My fear was let's just say I'm a really big Chiefs fan right now because I want Tom Brady to lose. I hate him that much, but my fear was that if the Bills won, that they would not do well in the Super Bowl because that is a whole different, you know, set of pressure. And the first time you go in there, you could succumb to that pressure. And I think that's also part of the reason why the Bills lost is I think Josh Allen, not totally, but he did get a little nervous yesterday. I think, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of pressure and he's pretty young. So, it's going to be a great matchup. Wow. I mean, it's just going to be fun. It's just going to be a lot of fun. I mean, right now I would give it to the Chiefs because they're just on top of their game, but you never know. You have 2 weeks to prepare for it. So who knows what these teams are going to come up with. I think it's going to be either way. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a good game. And I'm really excited.
Which they did play in week 12. It was a 3-point win by Kansas City in Tampa. Brady, momentum. I know, you know, you're not a fan of him because he used to play for the Patriots, but in a fair-minded place, how do you see Brady now? He's 43. He hasn't lost a step, but he can do it with a second franchise to win the Super Bowl, Joe.
You have to give all the credit to Brady, and I begrudgingly do that, but it's amazing what he's doing. First of all, you know, you look at Philip Rivers just retired. Eli Manning retired last year. Ben Roethlisberger maybe should retire. you know, Aaron Rodgers looking a little old. Then you have Brady, who's older than all of them, and he looks 10 years younger than all of them. You know, you can have the best plans and stuff, but the way he executes them is amazing. And the way that the Buccaneers, especially this year, you have this superstar, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, going to an entirely new team, an entirely new offense, an entirely new set of players. And in this situation with COVID, where they're not allowed to practice all the time, they're not allowed to see each other all the time, all this stuff going on, all these factors, they still made it work. It looks like during the season, they had their problems, they had their struggles, but during the bye week, they worked it out and they fixed their problems. And after the bye week, the Bucks looked amazing. So got to give credit to Tom Brady. Got to give credit to the Bucks. And they didn't just do it because of Tom Brady. They have good wide receivers, good running backs, a good defense. They had you know, all the pieces around Tom Brady so that he wasn't just the superstar that had to carry things like he had to do in New England.
Which I was thinking about it once, you know, once we got like the whole Super Bowl matchup all set, I was thinking, like, so was it Brady that carried New England to all those Super Bowls? Wasn't that really Belichick? I mean, or would you give Belichick a benefit of the doubt because, you know, he didn't really have a quarterback, but was it more Brady than Belichick?
I think it was a combination of, I mean, Brady and Belichick were a perfect marriage, but toward the end, it got ridiculous. You know, Belichick might, you could say, you know, controversial, one of the greatest coaches of all time, but I think as a general manager, maybe not so good, because the pieces he had around Brady, the wide receivers, the running backs, the past few years were just pathetic. And I mean, look at Brady now. He has good running backs, good wide receivers, a good offensive line, and look what he's doing. So, I don't know. I mean, it was a perfect marriage. It was a great marriage, but at the end, it soured, and probably because of Belichick.
Joe is right. Patriots were not able to deliver good wide receivers for Tom Brady, and which I have been hearing Tom Brady's complaint. I mean, one of the reasons why he left, he was not providing weapons. They did give him Brown, but he did not. He only lasted for one game. Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are going to the Super Bowl. Joe, how do you feel about that? Former Steelers.
It is a Steelers fans nightmare. A lot of Steelers are still not over either of them. Are disgusted by their presence. I really don't care, especially with Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell was a healthy scratch. Whatever happened after his contract dispute with the Steelers, where he took a year off, and you know, ever since he's been on the Jets and now the Chiefs, he's basically a shell of himself. So I mean, I really don't care about him. But Antonio Brown, that is going to be very interesting. He did not play in the championship game because of a knee injury. So who knows what the status of that is. I'm sure that he's going to play because it's such a big game. However, the off-the-field stuff with Antonio Brown could possibly be a major distraction. The Super Bowl puts a giant spotlight on every player. And when you look at all the things that Antonio Brown was involved in, all of the domestic disputes, all of the charges, all the accusations against him, people are going to bring that up. I predict that Antonio Brown is going to be a major distraction. I have a feeling he's going to have a meltdown of some type. And I think he will end up not playing in the game for whatever reason. That's just my prediction.
Wow, a lot could go on in these next 2 weeks. Some drama, some gossip, some soap operas. Before we go, two Steeler news this past week. Duck Hodges is going to the Rams, and you guys got Dwayne Haskins signing with the Steelers. How do you think about that?
You know, at first when I heard that Dwayne Haskins was coming to the Steelers, I thought, what are we doing? This is stupid. You know, because he was just so terrible with the Washington football team, and you know, you heard all kinds of things about that he really wasn't into it, and that he's just not really dedicated and not a professional. But really, it's a no risk situation for the Steelers, and you know, if he's coming in as the third or fourth quarterback, so be it. Maybe you'll get something out of him, and if you don't, who cares? So you know, you just with someone like that, he has a talent. Hopefully he could mature and be more professional and put it together. And if so, then the Steelers have something. And if not, then, you know, then they could just cut him with no repercussions.
And of course, Duck Hodges, you guys let him going to the Rams. I guess Mason Rudolph is definitely up in the pedestal. Could be starting quarterback if Roethlisberger retires, but if not, he'll be number two.
Yeah, that's a question right now, is what's going to happen with Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, most indications are he is going to come back, but there's a possibility he won't. You have a situation where basically the Steelers will be very different next year. Marquise Pouncey looks like he might retire. The center, he's, there's going to be a lot of players not coming back, including Villanueva, including Juju. He's probably not going to come back. You already have a new offensive coordinator. The question is, for Roethlisberger, is you have all these changes. You have all these changes in coaches and teammates. Do you really want to come back and quote unquote start over, or do you just want to, call it a career? We'll see. Most likely Ben is going to come back, but if not, it probably would be Mason Rudolph for a year because of the salary cap situation. That they would have to, they would have to bring in either have Mason Rudolph or someone cheap because of the salary cap ramifications.
You heard it here first. That's a Steeler insider news right there. I'm not sure what's going on, but Joe does because he's inside Pittsburgh. Vance McDonald retired. Thoughts?
Vance McDonald had he was brought in on a trade a few years ago with the 49ers, and nobody really expected anything, but he ended up being a great pickup for the Steelers. He was a very good blocking tight end. He made some good catches, and he had the one play against the Bucks where he just stiff-armed this guy. I believe his name was Chris Conte. He stiff-armed him into like another dimension. He was so bad. Yeah, he Vance McDonald will be missed. That was that he had a good career with the Steelers.
There you have it. Steelers news, AFC Championship recap, NFC Championship recap. Now it's time for a Twitter poll question of the day. What is your favorite Florida team? Options are the Miami Dolphins, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who won last night and going to the Super Bowl, Florida Gators, or the Florida State Seminoles?
The Miami Dolphins will always have a place in my heart because of Dan Marino. Dan Marino is a Dan Marino is a Pittsburgh guy, and that's why I love him. But also, he is the reason why I am stuck on the University of Pittsburgh. I blame him. I blame him for my infatuation with the University of Pittsburgh. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I love seeing anytime there's Dan Marino highlights with the Dolphins thrown to Mark Duper and Clayton. That's I just have fond memories of that. So the Dolphins are my favorite team, and I hate the Florida Gators because they had Tim Tebow, and Tim Tebow beat the Steelers in the playoffs that one year, and that was one of the most soul-crushing defeats of in Steelers history.
Well, Miami Dolphins is winning the poll at 75%. Second, the Florida Gators at 25. FSU and Bucks are at zero. So we'll see where the poll numbers, the poll needles go to. And Joe Toscano, what is the best way to reach you to grab a last-minute pizza recipe for the Super Bowl?
Joey Bag of Donuts on Twitter, V7F. I tweet way too much. I tweeted in my sleep last night.
How can that happen?
It was like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I sent out a tweet. I didn't even realize it.
That's interesting. Have you ever seen those Twitter accounts that after that person died, the Twitter account's still going with new content?
Yeah, a little creepy.
A little creepy. Yeah, I've seen a couple of those. But anyways, probably have an assistant. You can reach us at the SportsCast1 on Twitter, which we have no assistant. Well, we have a couple people that run on our Twitter account, or the sportscast.net, the website. Make sure you subscribe, follow, share, whatever, and make this grow. Tonight, we got Tyler Turner going at it. He's probably going to go on the NFL draft predictions or mock-ups that he's been putting together. Those things, those NFL draft mock-ups, you don't know until last minute, like the real actual one, but it's probably a good procedure to bet on. Anyways, and then tomorrow is Riley and Constant. Those guys are up in the batter box ready, getting ready. And of course, we got 2 weeks off, and we'll be looking towards the Super Bowl in Tampa, February 7th, 6:30 p.m. Kansas City is actually going to get to Tampa a day before because of the COVID protocols. You want to make sure no one has COVID by the time you play, especially in Mahomes. Anyways, that's all I have. That's all she wrote. Joe Toscano, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Always a pleasure, man. Always love talking to you.